You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It is the Unpack Podcast from AcmePackingCompany.com and SB Nation, talking about your 1-0 Green Bay Packers. Your 1-1 Green Bay Packers. We are on Twitter at the Unpack Pod. We are on Instagram for no discernible reason at the Unpack Pod. Like, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, like the person who said that I giggle and sigh too much. Not wrong. Not wrong.
I always used to be the guy whose voice got criticized, so I'm glad that's shifted.
He said the other two guys are okay though. So you guys are good. It's just me that this particular person does not like. But
welcome to my world.
I'm Zach Rapport at Zach Rapport on Twitter. I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I am joined. We'll go in the reverse order we normally do, since Ben, you chimed in. Ben Foley out in New York. How are you?
I'm doing great. Better than Jace Sternberger.
Yeah, we will get to that in poetry land. Also joined by Alex Patakis. How are you doing, man?
Also great.
Also great.
And also better than Jace Sternberger.
I heard a little birdie told me that you're going to be back on a real microphone starting next week.
I am. I finally... I'm back on a Mac. It's not mine, but I've got one to use. So therefore, I can use the equipment that you so graciously gave me before you departed New York, because it only works on a Mac. The only reason I didn't use it today is this is like too new of a computer, so it doesn't have like a USB input. So I need a USB to USB-C converter, which I've been told by many is the future.
Yep.
So
one of these.
I have that issue myself.
I'll hold it up for the camera that no one can see. One of these.
Ah, you got one.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to mail you one. Right now.
Damn.
Yeah, peek behind the curtain. The past almost a year, I would say, I've been post-producing, Alex, your voice, which you're holding your phone right now. You're using the voice recorder app on your
Not
phone.
Not terrible.
Yeah,
Not
it honestly great, doesn't sound that bad through the headphones of even just the mic of whatever you're recording it on.
We make it work.
I was going to say, too, that you go to B&H. B&H got you covered.
Oh,
it is
yeah?
also just fun to go to.
Yeah. All right. I'll have to check it out. I know that's a pretty like famous store. Mm-hmm. I was just going to go to the Apple store, but I'm guessing I would probably somehow pay more for the same exact thing.
Go to
B&H thing.
And watch the cool, like, weird, like, conveyor belt thing.
And then, like, you'll get candy. There's lots of free candy. It's kosher candy, I think.
Okay. I'm a big fan of
B&H.
It's like West, right? Like Midtown West or something?
Yeah, it's by the post office, the big post office.
Oh, yeah. That's isn't that the building that either Google or Facebook, like, bought out completely? During the pandemic or something?
Google bought, I think, a building south of it and just bought another one on the water.
Yeah.
We are on brand here, spending 2 minutes talking about an obscure electronics store in New York City.
It's not obscure, but if you're not if you've never been in New York, you've probably never been to B&H.
Yeah, like B&H, what the hell's that? We will talk about the Packers who beat the Lions 35-17. Some quick housekeeping that I wanted to get to first. You may have noticed listening to last week's show that I attempted to bleep curse words and I missed. I'd say my batting average was about 200. I tried to take very thorough notes and I missed quite a few of them. I think now with all the shows and with SB Nation's kind of like increased eyes on everyone's feed, we've been told try to keep it PG 13. So I'll just say here on the record, maybe I don't strain myself trying to bleep everything, because I've heard now in the feed other people are, you know, maybe not working so hard at that. Maybe we just curb it a little bit. I don't know. We just try to swear a little bit less. I feel like we're not too gratuitous. We're never like disparaging anyone with our curse words. We're just kind of
except for Kyler Fackrell.
Yeah. It's usually not disparaging, but I feel like I throw in some gratuitous language, curse words when it's not even necessary. So I will I'll do the whole like that one's on me, raise my hand,
swear jar,
take that foul.
I missed a bunch of yours. I took very thorough notes and I thought I did a great job. And then I was listening back like a day later and it's like all these bleeps. And then somewhere in the midpoint in the show, it's like 5 F-bombs in a row from you.
Would you believe that in like 6-7 years of doing radio, I only ever accidentally dropped an F-bomb once on the air? And it was like when I was really excited. I wasn't mad about anything. And it was because I said, I don't remember. I think it was after the Super Bowl, which the Packers won. And I said, Clay bleeping Matthews.
Yep.
And amazing. Yeah, only time. My only one. Which like, yeah, so worth it. I think I was talking about the Kevin Green clip too.
Amazing. The one other quick housekeeping thing, and then I promise we'll talk about football. Someone tweeted at us after last week's show, and they had questions. We were talking about what we call quality basics, like T-shirts and
oh,
things.
Oh yeah.
Like,
oh, do we have feedback on that? I love this.
Just that. Someone, I think, the concept of quality basics was new to them, and so I was like trying to walk them through it on Twitter, and they were like, so you're talking about like white T-shirts and stuff, and like it is, I don't know. Alex, do you want to nobody should take like sartorial advice from us, but a quick quality basics roundup maybe.
Well, okay, so like things like that make me want to get back on Twitter, but then like every time I send one tweet out and I get something back that's like, you know, crawl back into your hole, you whatever. I'm like, maybe it is better I'm not. But I would love to exchange in some discourse on quality basics. I don't know. Am I the guy to really talk about this? I feel like I just like stumbled upon this summer. It's basically, I feel like when I used to just buy T-shirts, you know, basics, plain, like solid color things, I would just buy like a $10 H&M shirt because I'm like, it's a freaking T-shirt. But then you're always buying them. They, once you wash them like once, they kind of suck. So it's actually misshapen. Worth the investment when people are like, I'm going to buy a $40 white T-shirt. But like, it makes a huge difference. It becomes a staple in your wardrobe. It always stays crisp. You wash it. It's great. And it doesn't wear. And it's worth the investment.
And it fits you better if you find the right place to shop at. And yeah.
And that's the big key, right? I've tried already like 3 different types of quality basics. And all of like the algorithms on my social media have picked up on that totally. They probably like know about my weight gain during the pandemic because they're like advertising to me all these shirts that like hide your beer belly like with these T-shirts.
I get
that
those too.
Perfect. And I'm like, holy crap, you guys are really on it. And I bit. But Everlane, great. Velveteen, really good T-shirt company. They're a little thick though, but that's a great fall T-shirt. I highly recommend splurging on that if you can. Never once wore one of the 3 ones that I got this summer and didn't get a compliment. And I don't get compliments because I'm not a fashionable person.
There you go.
And Rant, that's the best contribution you'll get from me all day. Let's talk football.
Yeah, we are on the free Zoom.
Anyone else has something to add?
We're on the free Zoom, so we'll move it along and we will talk football finally. The Packers played last night as we record this, 35-17 over the Lions at Lambeau Field, and let's just get right into it and do note nugs. And I will go first because we.
You sure you don't
lesson.
Want to ask if we want to?
Would you like to?
No, actually, I wouldn't.
All right. Okay. My note nug. It's gonna start with a little audio. I'm gonna cue up the audio.
Came here at Lambeau without your dad. Just how much was he on your heart tonight?
He was really on my heart. I have a chain with a football, and his ashes are in it. I scored, and it fell off in the end zone. So I'll go look for it, but I know he's happy. He'd be happy. He was like, if you lose it anywhere, lose it in the end zone. So.
You haven't found it?
I haven't. The grounds crew was looking for it, though. So.
Oh, we got to go get
that. We'll find it.
Just when did you?
Of course, you guys have probably all heard by now. Aaron Jones, what a game for him. He lost his dad in the spring to COVID, a rough stretch personally, the home opener. He just goes off. It is the Aaron Jones show. And of course, again, you probably know by now, he was wearing a necklace that contained some of his dad's ashes. He lost it in the end zone after a score. But fear not, the Packers' esteemed trainer Flea apparently found the necklace at, I believe, like 2 o'clock in the morning, I think I saw. So all's well that ends well. Bit of a touching story, some Favre Monday Night vibes a little bit with the father storyline. And I don't know, man, I just wanted to lead with some human interest, baby. I was happy for it was a touching story, but also happy for Jones. Statistically, what a game.
Not much to get takey on with that.
Nope. Just happy for the guy and great game. And in a week leading up, you know, to this game, I was really consumed with Jamal Williams audio that was being thrown at me. And he is, of course, eminently likable, but it kind of made me forget, and I don't know how I could, how likable Aaron Jones is. He maybe not as silly, but just a really easy guy to root for.
Yeah, 100%.
Both very likable.
And jersey swap, which I think could have been predicted. Some photo ops, I believe, after the game.
Yep.
They were roommates. Love it. And root for Jamal Williams, too, which I'll do for the remainder of the season.
Yep.
Save for one game. I actually was shocked that he didn't, like, make... I just had an image in my head that Jamal Williams would have, like, a career day yesterday, but I'm glad that didn't happen.
If he had a career day and the Packers won by a touchdown, I'd feel like I'd allow that.
Yeah. Yeah, same. As long as Aaron Jones also has that performance, because I think that's just, yeah, super feel good. It's great to have that be the narrative coming out of the game rather than Aaron Rodgers tanking the season on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Another reminder that really a lot of the offense does run through Aaron Jones. Alex, give me your note nug.
Yeah, so, you know, he came to the line. I didn't get the look I wanted, so I hope you don't mind if I audible, because we actually did communicate today on what our note nugs would be, but I'm going to switch it up, because you reminded me of something when you brought up Jamal Williams. Since we're, you know, we got our Monday night game out of the way early. Do we have another one? I know we're Sunday night next week. My note nug.
I think there's a Thursday.
Okay, tolerable. Because my note nug is basically just a reminder that ESPN, you are the worldwide leader. But this Monday Night Football broadcast, I'm sorry to like be the broadcast snob guy, but like sometimes it's really insufferable. You would have gathered if you just were dropped in, if you just started following the NFL yesterday, that Jamal Williams is like a Green Bay Packer legend, like Barry Sanders style. And also that he's like 10 times better of a player than he is. And then some of the, like, just the language they were using about, like, you know, like the trends of the season so far. It's like, dude, come on, like one game, like everyone knows now it's one game. So I don't know what it is, but Monday night's fall from grace. It's quite sad.
Did you happen to see any of the ESPN2 coverage with Peyton and Eli?
So that's kind of one of the reasons I wanted to bring that up as a note nug, because I do want to just briefly get your guys' take on that. I think it's great, but I can't do it for a Packer game. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I felt like it was every other week I'll watch that over the actual broadcast. But yeah, for the Packers, I felt like very distracted. And also, like, there's so much happening on screen that isn't the game that I feel like for a Packer game that I need to pay attention to. Even though Peyton and Eli can drop great insight, it's not for me. But it's a great idea. Like, that's cool. Like, I think to me, that's almost an admission, too, of ESPN being like, people are kind of fed up with just, like, some of our broadcasts, and we need to spice it up just the way they do some of these other things. Anyway, this isn't a broadcast podcast.
It's kind of a natural progression out of the Romo thing, right? Like, Romo turns out to be this kind of great broadcaster who brings us, you know, like, you almost feel like it's like, when you watch a Romo broadcast, you're like, wow, I wish Romo could just like say what he wants and like kind of take off all the veneer of like the sportscaster-ness. And I think it makes sense that they kind of capitalized on it. I mean, I guess what I'd be curious about is how do you get, like, who will be the player that both does that and is compelling and interesting enough to kind of like listen to as someone who's conscientious of what a viewer wants. I guess Romo is probably that guy. Like Romo probably is that balance. But that's my two cents on that.
Yeah. I don't think we'll ever see it, but if he wanted to be entertaining, Rodgers would be incredible.
Oh,
I
mean, for sure.
It's just, he would take the number one spot on any network the second he, like his agent makes a phone call once he's done playing. But I don't really see it being an interest of his based on how worldly he is and how all these other things he's got going on.
Worldly. There you go.
Yeah. anyway, did you guys see any of the Manning stuff? Sorry, before Ben's...
I didn't. No, I don't have ESPN 2.
I saw just one clip. I saw one clip. Favre was on for, I don't know if it was the whole thing. I assume it was just like a little guest spot. I thought having the third person on, especially someone like Favre who just can just kind of talk, was distracting, honestly. I like the Mannings being able to go back and forth and give insight. I think that's cool. I think having a guest on during the game is just even more distracting. The only reason I wanted to bring them up was something that Justice and Matub pointed out in their game recap, which was the moment where Rodgers threw that incredible tight window touchdown pass to our boy Big Bob, right as Rodgers was like winding up, you could see Peyton kind of mid-sentence, mid-conversation, he leans forward like, oh boy, what's going to happen? And then this pass comes down. And as Matub so artfully put it, Peyton basically creams his jeans on live TV. He goes like, oh, like grabs the football and goes, ah. Oh.
Yeah. Game recognized game. I love that stuff. But that throw, man, that was very, I mean, it's a vintage Rodgers throw, but the first one that comes to my mind is that one to Jordy Nelson against the Vikings. It's just the ear hole throw. It's a classic. And I remember a really popular screen grab going out about that, of like what Rodgers saw when he threw it. That was really cool.
I think you're right, too, that it's kind of this like fantasification, right, of like watching games that you kind of only care about for very kind of entertainment purposes. Not that watching the Packers isn't entertainment, but it feels more than that. Whereas like if I were, you know, I would have loved to watch that for Chiefs Ravens,
right? It's a different investment.
Yeah,
yeah.
But also like even maybe a little bit of self-awareness too with ESPN, because Monday Night Football is not always the sexiest matchup too. So like just having that option, like I might watch, I don't know, like Raiders Chargers if I'm getting really cool insight on Herbert from the Manning brothers, you know what I'm saying? Like, and also just like fun banter because they're both actually pretty, have like personality, which it's a shame the NFL like will never like let people reveal that unless you're Jamal Williams.
Alex, you preemptively apologized for being like, let's talk about the broadcast guy. And then it was like six solid minutes of broadcast talk. I personally don't mind. That's the kind of stuff that I like. Ben, what is your note nug?
I don't know. Stokes looked pretty good. Stokes looked fine. That's notable, right? That's a nug. Yep. John Runyon looked good. I mean, I think the depth parts of the team stepping up into the weaknesses is good. And now just for the defensive line, and maybe we'll have ourselves, you know, there should be some churn, some turnover.
Yeah, let's pause for a second on Stokes. We got a few listener note nugs tweeting at us at the Unpack Pod. Mark tweeted in hashtag start Stokes. Not Ryan tweets in, Eric Stokes is going to be so damn good. And I also wanted to, if we could kind of turn that on its head and talk a little bit about Kevin King. I saw this tweeted out by Matt Schneidman. Pass coverage stats through two games per PFF. Kevin King, 6 targets, 5 completions allowed for 133 yards. Eric Stokes, 5 targets, 1 completion allowed for 5 yards. What's Kevin King?
It's an interesting comparison, right? Because the plays that, I mean, how much of King's completions are on 2 or 3 big, deep, you know, gashing Gaines that he loses track on the ball and makes a bad play while it's in the air. And Stokes hasn't really had to do deep PBUs. His pass breakups were both kind of within 7 yards of the line of scrimmage, I think. So, I mean, like, as much as I think it's easy to look at these kind of, like, you know, it's just, it's such a small sample size that I actually think that's a little unfair to King. And we haven't really seen Stokes, you know, turned on the outside on a kind of alpha wide out threat.
That's fair.
Yeah. Well, I also thought, so, okay, expanding on that too, because I listened to Justice and Matub talk a little bit about, like, how Stokes was used in the game too, like, situationally, and they talked about, you know, like, very similarly, like, things being close to the line of scrimmage, him coming in on that short fourth down, that he's, like, he's a guy that right now they trust to play around the line of scrimmage. But that being said, I don't know if you guys saw the note from Tom Silverstein, but affectionately known as Spoon to many people in Green Bay. But Matt LaFleur, I guess, said how he told Joe Barry they needed to start bringing pressure and also start, like, pressing.
Not a good look.
And then they did that, which also, like, two things there that I want to just quickly say.
You're encroaching on my haiku. I just want to be clear.
Oh, damn. Okay, sorry. Okay. I didn't know that. Fucking, like, know that yourself. Damn it. Sorry.
And the F-bomb comes out.
Don't have LaFleur tell you that. But also that, I don't even remember what I was going to say. Oh, like, Stokes shining in that moment is just, like, proof that that's just where they need to be playing. Like, that's how they should align. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to encroach anymore.
No. I was just joking. But, like, I mean, I think there is something to be said for if you have a known quantity and that quantity is pretty crappy, it's worth finding out what the unknown quantity is.
Yep.
And I understand also. I mean, I guess the risk, the downside is that they want to be careful with is that you don't want to blow a young player's confidence, throwing him into a position, like a situation that he can't handle. Now, whether or not a first-round draft pick is a guy who shouldn't be able to handle that, that's fine, but it's not, like, the easiest position in the NFL. And it's a high profile position that can really screw people up. Like, Devontae Adams took years to come on, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Aaron Rodgers took years to come on. Anybody that we think of as a superstar on this team, even Jair took his time coming on a little bit. So I understand reluctance to throw a rookie into the lion's den.
Yeah. Well, okay. So what I think is interesting, just, like, quickly to pose a question then is, like, I mean, again, I still have not seen the numbers on snap counts, but is it a one-for-one thing with King and Stokes? Because to me, it looked like Stokes playing meant that Shandon Sullivan isn't. And I hope that's not encroaching on haiku territory either. But I find it interesting that, like, I think, and most of the people who tweeted at the show with their note nugs was like, 20's out, you know, Stokes is in, King, see you later. But yep. It still seems like to me King is going to continue to be lining up. Like, whether Stokes plays more or not, I don't think it's necessarily Kevin King who's coming off the field. It kind of seems like Shandon Sullivan got the demotion, which we're not breaking down the film. We're not in practice, etc. But, like, he seems like he's been less exposed, you know, like, you're not, like, throwing your remote across the room at his expense as much as you are with Kevin King. So I don't know. I find it interesting. I'm just not confident that Kevin King's not going to be out there next Sunday. And the idea that there's a guy called Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk who's, like, been quiet but is supposed to be good this year.
Yeah.
Like, well, waiting in the wings, that terrifies the bleep out of me.
Well, we will at the bottom of the show, as they say, get a quick gut check on the San Francisco game upcoming. But let's take a quick break, come back, and we will do some news and haikus.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It was always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, "Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back." If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, "Everything okay in there?" "Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog."
Really fumbling over here on this, on the production aspect today. We are back. News and haikus. We were just talking up Ben Foley, your haiku. Let's have you go first to kind of continue the conversation here, since it seems defensive related. And we will go ahead and enter the spa.
Do we give credit to Joe Barry for the rain? Did Matt make the change?
I love it. And actually, on the Repack Pod, Justice and Matub recapping the game, which, by the way, if you're in the feed and you haven't heard that yet, go back and listen to that. It's a previous episode just before this. In that one, they both credited the rain as a defensive player on the field, which I thought was hilarious and not inaccurate.
Yeah, I mean, I guess all that's to say is I don't... This was not the Joe Barry get right game that I did not see what I wanted to see out of the Joe Barry defense. And the second half, as the offense really kind of put the game out of hand and led to some garbage time kind of sloppiness on behalf of the Lions. Not convinced that this defense, I think from a personal perspective, has some playmakers, but I'm not convinced that this defense is by any means a playoff caliber NFL defense.
Yeah, it's given me vibes of, you know, those teams that I know they only gave up 17 to the Lions, but the vibe of those teams that we've watched in the past that you got to reliably be able to score 35 or more in order to feel comfortable winning some of these games. And I don't like that.
It's not a great feeling.
Yeah.
I think the other thing to note is that it seems like a pretty massive underperformance considering the quality of some of the playmakers on the defense and the seeming inability to get them involved in any sort of like position of strength.
The one caveat I'll say to that, and Justice has been harping on this in the APC Slack chat, and I've been kind of DMing him mid-game, like, please make me feel better about this defense, is that he continues to say the front seven for the Packers has four NFL players.
Yeah, but how does that make anybody feel better?
I mean, like, yeah, better about Joe Barry.
One of the things he gives you. Oh, okay.
Better about Joe Barry.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's like, coach to the team you got. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I don't. They can't be that bad. They were fine before. Like, Mike Pettine made roughly the same personnel look fine.
Fair, although they don't have a Z right now.
Can I be the next, like, masseuse in this spa? Because I feel like mine's a little cherry to throw on top of what we got working right now.
Yeah, baby. Cue the music. Beaded curtain rattles, and we're in there.
Surprise onside kicks. A Mike McCarthy special. Matt LaFleur, take note. This was the most random thought I had of the game. I was a little drunk, but that defense is like when McCarthy used to say, "Bleep it, I'm doing a surprise onside," like after we get a possession at the start of the half and score, because I literally have to steal possessions from the other team for any prayer of us having the ball last, or, you know, like having enough possession to let Aaron Rodgers cook. That's not a good feeling, man. Like, this is... I don't know. For some reason, I know that they only ended up like second half, they buckled down, but this game had those type of vibes all over it, where it's like, doesn't matter what Rodgers does, it's not going to come down to him. It's going to come down to their inability to get off the field or create a turnover.
Yep.
Thank God it rained.
Yep.
And that Jared Goff has small hands and has habitually struggled in the rain for like his entire playing career since like high school.
Since Pee Wee.
Which I learned on the Unpack Pod, the Repack Pod, or the Unpack Pod. Anyway, I think that's cool. I always loved Mike McCarthy for that, for just being transparent with us and being like, "Look, guys, I know we're as shit as you think we are. I believe it too. So I'm onsiding." Anyway, random thought. I miss those days. Why do I love him so much now that he's gone? It's like I can't stop talking about him. It's brutal. I don't know.
And then I like tune into Cowboys Twitter on Sundays sometimes, and it is like 50-50 down the middle. Some people are like, all right, wait and see, like this is fine. And other people are just like, Packers fans, why didn't you warn us? This is terrible. I hate this.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Well, so those kind of vibes coming.
Yep. All right.
More to come. San Francisco. Jesus Christ.
Speaking of vibes, and we'll get to San Francisco right after this. We're back in the spa. Terry McLaurin was on the board when Green Bay picked Jace Sternberger. I think it was our own Paul Badger Noonan who tweeted that out, I believe. But Jace Sternberger, of course, hopefully many of you know by now, is gone, released from the team. And just before we hit record here, Ben, you were telling me that you're pretty sure you have it on record that you were not a fan at all of this pick when it went down.
I mean, I think I tried to be optimistic at the time, if I remember right. But tight end is one of those positions where there's two things that seem to correlate with professional success by and large. One is college production and the other is like physical profile. And Jace Sternberger was the rare early tight end prospect who had neither of those things. So I was never particularly high on his chances. It seemed like you either had to assume that there was something that he only showed briefly in college, or that it was a bad pick. And I guess I hoped for the former and it's the latter. And, you know, given I think what we saw out of Dominic Daphne last night, it just makes that pick kind of even more inexplicable, and possibly even the Josiah DeGuire one as well.
Yep.
It's just like, do not spend capital on these weird reaches at skill positions, especially at positions that you know, tight end was a position of need at the point of that pick.
You know, what was not a reach was when I drafted Daphne as my guy, because it seems like
he's playing a lot, man. His he's rep getting count on the field, is baby. High.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a reach then. It's a reach now, and don't quit doing that shit.
Don't be
sorry,
reaching
that stuff. Oh, and maybe AJ Dillon's the next. I mean, I like AJ Dillon as a player, but I do really think that the Packers need to have some analytic consideration of the value of draft capital tied to position and legit, you know, there should be something a little more scientific than I like this guy. And sometimes in the last couple drafts, there's been some real like, who likes this guy and why do they like them moments?
Yeah. Some big hits well. And then a couple of real head scratchers. Guys, we're just about at the 3:30 mark here on our free Zoom, so why don't we look ahead real quick to San Francisco? I don't know, Alex, you already kind of tipped your hand a little bit. You feeling a little uncomfortable with this game?
Yeah, man. Kyle Shanahan going at Joe Barry and four professional defensive, you know, front seven players.
Yeah.
I've seen this before, man. Like, they're going to run... Unless the Packers come out on fire. So, really quick, sorry. I was always a defer guy and always like, we want the double up. I don't want this defense on the field first. Nope. You're going in a 7-point hole, like probably in a lot of games this year.
Yep.
And if that happens, the game's going to get away from them. It's going to be one of those things where we feel like we didn't even see enough of Rodgers to have an opinion on the offense. So, yeah, I would take Niners. 3-point favorites. At home against this defense, like Shanahan's too good of a coach to not do what, you know, the Lions, or to do what the Lions did, who are coached by a, you know, kind of a buffoon.
Or 3.5, I'm not sure. I do know it didn't.
It keeps moving
after the Detroit game.
I don't know. I might have been wrong. I just checked the DraftKings line because it was the first thing that popped up in Google.
But Vegas does not seem to think that the Lions game was like a bounce back, like, oh, we think differently about the Packers now, because the line, it seems like for the 49ers game has stayed consistent.
Yeah. Well, they played the same opponent. Not that the transitive property always works in the NFL, but the Niners gave up garbage time points, but they hammered them and they were on the road as a West Coast team in the early slate. So whatever that's worth. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, Ben, you ready for Joe Barry versus the San Francisco 49ers?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not looking forward to it. I guess if we see second half Packers for the whole game and, you know, maybe win the coin toss, like I can see the Packers winning this, but I would, I guess I'll take the Niners against the spread.
We started the preseason so optimistic, and we're a few games in, and we're all just like, they're probably going to lose this game. Take the money, guys.
I just don't see anything about Joe Barry. I mean, I said it kind of half-jokingly last week that I think Joe Barry was the worst Gutekunst decision, but I still might think that's true.
Yeah, not Jay Sternberger?
No, I mean, Jay Sternberger, it's a bad decision. It's not the worst.
Yeah. Well, we got less than a minute left here, so I'm just going to hit the polka because I'm going to lose you guys. At some point, the screen's just going to go black. And that's going to be it.
Sopranos ending every week for us, baby.
Wow. Alex says, Sopranos ending. And the Zoom chat literally goes black right on cue. Can't make this stuff up. All right, guys. Later this week in the feed, you will get reporting as eligible. And then you will get Intercepted, where Justice Mosqueda previews this weekend's Packers game with an expert guest, so keep it locked into the feed here. Give us a review, make fun of my voice, whatever makes you happy. For Alex and Ben, I am Zach Rapport. Keep your stick on the ice and go Pack, go.